Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Actually, today is January 29, 2017, and we are pre-recording an interview with Hope Castor once again. I asked Hope to get back on the line so we could discuss something that's come up in terms of the conflict. I recently interviewed Chris Busby, and Kevin Blanch made a comment about that he's a rat, and he called me up and told me he has done all these horrible things. Frankly, I haven't been an anti-nuke activist for a long, long time, maybe 4 or 5 years now, when I realized what a monstrous industry this is. I don't know the ins and outs, but Hope has been around it. She understands it, and she listened to the interview with Chris Busby, understands the logic, like the common sense to me when Chris said that Fukushima wasn't as bad as Chernobyl. I actually didn't really know about Chernobyl. I mean, I knew about it, obviously, but I was much younger. My life was different. It was just something I heard about. So I didn't know a lot of the details, and I still don't. I really have not really dug into it. I do know that it's comparable. It's all, in my view, this is the way I look at it, is that Chernobyl and Fukushima are about the same, except the Fukushima hasn't stopped, so we don't know what's going on there. So let me bring Hope into this conversation. Hope, thank you for joining us and helping me to get clear and airing kind of our dirty laundry, you know, the conflict that goes on between the scientific community, the citizen journalists, and just the whole dumb fuckery of it all. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, it's so frustrating.
One of the things I wanted to compliment Lonnie on, and Miss Milky the Clown too, and other U2 activists, is airing Chris Busby, because Chris Busby might be mainstream. I mean, he does people like, he does all sorts of interviews on television, and he does the Alex Jones show and other places. But Chris Busby is a really reputable scientist. He's a fabulous scientist. And one of the things that we have to be careful of as citizen journalists or citizen scientists, I can say things that Chris cannot say. Because, and I'm sure your listeners think, well, why should we listen to Bobby Galileo, Hope Castor, the juggler, when Chris Busby is this important scientist? And that's a good point, and it's a valid point, because Chris Busby is a great scientist. But you should also listen to me, because I probably know more about the actual radiation coming out of Fukushima than Chris Busby does right now, because Dr. Chris Busby is busy with so many other things. However, having said that, I respect Chris Busby's point of view, and he certainly has a right to hear it. The most important thing is that Miss Milky the Clown and you and other YouTube activist journalists have gotten out there and gotten everybody's viewpoint out. Because without everybody being heard, we can't have a dialogue. And what Chris Busby did is he opened the door for a serious look at this and a serious dialogue. Now, one of the things that Dr. Chris Busby is known for and that he's great at, and it's what lay people would say, low-dose radiation. That's his big bailiwick, and he's great at it. But what he would tell you is it's internal emitters, and he's absolutely spot on. He was one of the first people that really proved that low-dose radiation is killing people. And one of the reasons that I believe that Chris Busby doesn't take the Fukushima accident as seriously as it really truly is, well, there's a threefold reason. The first reason is he doesn't have substantial proof of the amount of radiation released from the plants. That's number one.
That's right.
Number two is that Chris Busby's work has been done with low-dose radiation doses, and he's proved the terrible, awful effects of after effects, especially in children, in veterans, atomic veterans, in people that were downwind from nuclear plants and atomic testing, and he's been great in these fields. The third thing is Chris Busby, like every European, is a Chernobyl survivor. And America has downplayed the Chernobyl accident and downplayed it. And there's a great book that you can get online. And the Neskarenkos did a fabulous job. And it's Chernobyl, the first 25 years of an accident. And one of the things that they prove in that book, they prove it conclusively, is there's 1.5 million people dead from Chernobyl. Now, Chris was like living in Cornwall or somewhere, and he moved to Wales, because he was so terrified of that accident that he moved him and his children to Wales. Now, think about how big the atmosphere is compared to the oceans. Now, I know the Pacific Ocean is large, and the people that think that dilution is the solution to Chernobyl had better listen to Helen Caldicott's words of the solution to pollution by dilution is fallacious when it comes to radiation. Because that's absolutely the truth. And once it gets into the food chain, once it gets into the water source, we have no way to take that out. Now, if you think about how huge the atmosphere is and you compare it to the ocean, the atmosphere is many, many times larger. Yet still in Wales, he was frightened for his family when Chernobyl went off. Now, consider what really Fukushima is. Now, in Chernobyl, we had one graphite reactor. It had been online 6 months. That graphite reactor was smaller by a times of three than the smallest reactor, reactor number one at Fukushima. Now, that means it had one-third times as much uranium to potentially blow up as reactor number one did at Fukushima. So, first of all, both were full-fledged complete meltdowns. But times Fukushima by three now, because reactor number three had three times as much radiation in it. Now, take reactor number two. Reactor number two, and Lorraine Murray has done great work on this. Other people have too. Reactor number two was three times as large as reactor number one. So now we have to times it not only by three, but now by a factor of nine. Now, reactor number three, and here's your bad reactor. This is your MOX fuel reactor. Nobody knows how really bad MOX fuel is, and I'll get back to that in a while, of what it is and why it's so terrifying. But it also is three times as big as Chernobyl. Okay, times it by three again. So now we have to take Chernobyl, and we times it by three, and now we times it by nine to the second power. Now, we've already got a big number here, folks. This is a huge number. It's many times worse than Chernobyl. But it's worse than that because we have fuel pools involved. The fuel pools, as we like to call them, because only a fool would put a reactor cooling pond on top of a reactor, and that's exactly what they did. They put their reactor cooling ponds up above the reactor core, which was absolutely crazy. Nobody has come up with a reasonable explanation of why Reactor 4 blew up. Nobody on Earth has come up with that. Now, there's all sorts of theories. There's a stuck-next virus. Did somebody plant a bomb in the reactor? I don't believe those. I believe that those reactors melted down because of the earthquake and the tsunami. And if that's true, then there was probably a leak in one of the cooling pools. And if there was a leak in the shared fuel pool at reactor number 4, it could have caused a zirconium fire. Do you remember those cameras in the 1960s? I don't know if you were too young to remember.
Cannons?
They had a flash on them, and then the whole family could see the picture develop in 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They
like
were
the
Kodak Instamatics.
Yeah, the Polaroids, yeah.
Right, right, the Polaroid and stuff, Instamatic camera. Well, my dad was kind of a tech junkie of the day, and we had to have one of those immediately and see the whole family appear in kind of a green film. Well, that's zirconium. What causes that flash is zirconium. A very, very, very small amount of zirconium, when exposed to the air, causes that huge flash of light. Zirconium, when it's exposed to the air, causes a fire. It is highly volatile. And even in water, it can catch fire if it's exposed to oxygen. So what I believe happened was there was a leak in the fuel pool, if that's true. And, you know, we know TEPCO's lie to us. And one of the things Chris Busby said, well, he believes the guys he's getting information from. I don't believe Japan. I don't believe the U.S. government. And
yeah,
I don't believe
either.
TEPCO.
And I think
okay?
part of the but you see, it's that same basic core. It's the same criticism of Helen Caldicott, is they both say, well, we have to rely on their scientists, because really, if they start demeaning their scientists, it's a sticky, this is where the nuclear industry really relies on controlling the scientists. This is where
mm-hmm.
the whole technology industry controls the scientists, because if there's scientists that are out there that are really actually doing the work to prove the harm that's caused, not just by the nuclear, let's say the oil industry, but especially this Fukushima thing, you notice nobody talks about any of these mass animal deaths or any of the increase in cancer, the
exactly.
starfish.
Exactly.
It's all just avian flu. It's all global warming. Never one word about nuclear. And frankly, this is what really does piss Kevin off, pisses me off, pisses any citizen scientist off, is even the scientists who were out there defending the nuclear victims, they never say that these things, these catastrophic events are, they're saying, well, it could be catastrophic for, I mean, this is where I start cussing, to be honest. This really
right.
makes me
I hear
angry.
You. I hear you.
I mean, at
and
what
I
point are the
agree.
People who are in the industry, it's like we have these scientists that are going to march on Washington, D.C. because Trumpy took down the climate change thing, put a hold on them. Okay, but what about these climate changers? They'd never admit Never that the 70 years of nuclear bombing, the ongoing use of depleted uranium weapons, the ongoing spewing of Fukushima, Chernobyl. Chernobyl isn't over. It's still doing it. So is Three Mile Island. Every nuclear accident
right.
in the Marshall Islands,
right.
that dome is leaking and falling apart. It is a catastrophe beyond belief. And we are on the edge of extinction because of nuclear, and none of these freaking scientists ever want to say a word about it. I get it. But the industry has them
right.
by the gonads, because if they say anything, they...
Well,
they...
let me just put in a word here. Chris is saying a lot, and he is fighting hard. And I totally support a lot of his work. I disagree with his conclusions
too.
About Fukushima. Now, I want the listeners to our chat today to think about something. Think back 5 years ago to the accident. Did you see one reactor explode, or did you see 4 reactors explode? Ask yourself that question, because this is the relevancy that we have to bring to the forefront of people's brains. Did you see one reactor explode, or did you see 4? You saw 4. You saw 4 separate, complete, terrible meltdown explosions. Now, a reactor that explodes, if it melts down in 6 months the way Chernobyl does, doesn't have a buildup over years. These reactors were 20 years old. They had 20 years worth of fuel on site. Not one time was one fuel pool involved in the meltdown at Chernobyl. Not once. Not one fuel rod was at risk. That was a spent fuel rod. At Fukushima, we have massive, massive fuel pools involved. Right from the beginning, I said that water cooling was not the path to go, that we should have blooded them, that we should have sarcophagized them. The reason that nobody did that is the reason that there are 250,000 dead Russian liquidators. Because the Russians went in there with the Russian army, they contained that reactor, and God bless them for it. They saved millions and millions of people's lives. Now, we know that we can prove 1.5 million people dead from Chernobyl. There's probably 10 million people dead from Chernobyl. That was one meltdown. We are talking 4 meltdowns. So we times it by 3 for a number one reactor, times 9 to the second power for 2 and 3, times how many for the spent fuel pool? I don't know. Because now I don't have the information. Because now I can't get the information. Because there was so much fuel involved. Now, one of the things Dr. Chris Busby said is there's only a fraction of the radiation coming out. Now, understand, a fraction can be 70%. It can be 80%. It might be a fraction, but it's still a huge, enormous amount of radiation coming out of those reactors. And Lonnie, as I wrote, I created the term global warming. I did that. And what I said then in 1974 when I wrote that paper was the number one reason was nuclear energy. The reason that France is shutting down all their reactors, that they've now got plans, finally, God, thank you, God, on the books to shut down those reactors, is because the water in the rivers is getting so hot, it's killing their fishing industry, it's killing their grape industry, the climate is warming up. They went from no deaths from heat exhaustion to at least 1,500 people die every year now in France from heat exhaustion. Now, we know from Turkey Point in Florida that it is heating up the waterways so bad that it's killing all the fish. The reality is nuclear power is heating up the globe, and nobody wants to look at this, Lonnie.
That's right.
They want to blame everything on fossil fuels. That paper of mine was stolen. Stealing my intellectual property rights has changed the way a whole generation looks at the world. It's changing a whole way of looking at human beings as people to landmine and strip mine instead of viable, interesting human beings to allow to live their life and do their work. And people are not resources that we can throw away. Not me through violation of privacy and torture, not anybody. We don't have people that we can throw away. Now, one of the things that Chris Busby mentioned during that whole talk, and I agree with him, Chernobyl has been underplayed and underplayed. So has the exposure from radiation from every nuclear plant, every waste,
and even
every
the ones
atomic
that don't
bomb
tell us
testing.
About. There have been nuclear explosions they don't even tell us. You know, I was able to find a video
right.
that Miss Milky the Clown did. She uploaded it August 2nd, 2011 on an article that Chris Busby wrote for showa.org in UK. And in it, he says that Japanese air is at least 300 times worse than the air during the Chernobyl explosions. So it's not like he
That's
never,
right.
I think what he's talking about is right now, because this is one of the things he said during our interview, is that it has dissipated, but it's true. I mean, and that's the reason it's dissipated is because the fucking corium is in the ocean. The corium is gone. They don't know where the corium is. They don't know where the melted
We don't
is.
Know where it is.
Where
it's
is it?
Under, it's under the plant somewhere. The thing is, we're dealing with three separate reactor cores, and we're dealing with an unknown thing happening at Fuel Pool 4. We don't even know for sure that they told us the truth about moving all that stuff out of there.
I mean,
they have lied and lied and lied to us.
Let me look at this date of this article. I don't think I can find it, but it was referenced in this video that I found. Because, you know, it really burned me to hear, I know that he's done excellent work, and I really do support him. So here's this article that I found that says, Dr. Chris Busby, world-famous physicist, says tests run at the respected Harwell Radiation Laboratory in England demonstrate the airborne radiation in Japan is 1,000 times higher than the radioactive fallout at its peak of the 1963 H-bomb detonations by the nuclear powers. These calculations were based on radioactive cesium-137. I mean, he goes on. He says that it was worse, 300 times worse than the Chernobyl reactor disaster. So,
and that is just one isotope. And one of the things I want to tell people, the atomic bomb testing is not to be minimalized. It was horrible. I think 1 to 10 million people in this country at least died from the atomic bomb testing from being downwinders, maybe a lot more. That's not counting advanced diabetes, retardation, autism, social diseases, aberrant behavior, okay? All these are also signs of exposure to radiation. But, Lonnie, what I want to say here is that as bad as that is, even in a big nuclear bomb, you only have 100 to 150 pounds of plutonium uranium. When you're dealing with a nuclear plant meltdown, you're dealing with tons of this radiation. You're dealing with tons and tons of it. And the idea that because it's not a huge mass explosion and everybody doesn't drop dead at once, no, that's not what happens. But the slow kill, the terrible, terrible toxins released into the environment over time are even more deadly, and there's more of it. And this stuff never, ever goes away. Now, we're talking the half-life of uranium-235 is 4.6 billion years. That's older than the Earth is, okay? And that's just a half-life. You have to time these half-lives sometimes by 10, sometimes by 20, sometimes by 12. They all have different half-lives. But the thing about reactor, the MOX fuel reactor, that's reactor number 3. That is a plutonium mixed fuel with uranium, and it's a deadly, deadly poison, and it attacks. It has a long, long half-life. It's out into the environment, and there are things that we can do still to this day. Hillary Clinton went, and she landed in Japan with a plane full of lead, and the reason that she did this, like 3 days after the accident, was to put lead on all those reactors. The Japanese government, Hillary Clinton, fought and didn't do that. They fought the environmentalists. They fought their own board of experts, and they did not do that. And the reason they didn't do that was to save their asses. They didn't do it because she'd taken money from the nuclear cabal. They didn't do it because Japan has such a powerful nuclear energy program, such powerful nuclear cartel money. And what happened is money won out over the cost of health and the environment and life in the Pacific Ocean. Last year, the Pacific fleet went out. They didn't see one single sardine, not one. We have not caught one tuna since the 3/11 disaster, not one that didn't show signs of radiation from
That's
Fukushima.
True.
132 and 137.
And they still
saw it. Our halibut fleet went out. It came back empty. We have absolutely not seen one salmon on the West Coast that wasn't contaminated. Our salmon runs are down by 80-85%.
Yes.
Now, this is not a coincidence.
They're saying
30,000 seals died in California last year.
Hope, this is the frustration. They're saying it's from global warming. They never say it's from nuclear contamination. Never.
Not once. And global warming is caused by radiation. That's the big thing. And I've been saying this now for 45 years. I came up with this term. GE and Westinghouse were sharing my work. NBC, ABC, they were violating my privacy. They were doing it for money. Every time they took my work, whether it was Game of Thrones or Harry Potter or whatever, our science, they ruined it, Lonnie. And they didn't even know they were ruining it, I don't think, in art. Why people bought it is it's good work. Is it sound good work? Whether it was hardcore science or whether it was my creative ideas. And in the meantime, when I tried to work, 2002, I tried to do juggling shows in Reno, Nevada. A man was hired to beat me to death with a baseball bat. So this is also incredibly, all of it's illegal, Lonnie. All of this is against the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. All of it. And it combines in with the nuclear cartel. When they stole that paper, what they did is what we have okay, you know how I always say, well, it isn't the right, it isn't the left. We have to do what is correct. Because the left sold us down the river, just like the right has. They have both taken money from these giant, mega corporations and forgotten about the rights of the people. And we, the people, do not have to take it. The government works for us. We don't have to stand this stuff. Now, one of the things that I want to stress is I know that you believe in the love revolution, and I believe in it philosophically, but I have had the word love used as a form of torture, as a form of rape. That's what every child molester, every rapist says to their victim, love, love, love. And
that's
they
true.
Don't love. What Lonnie is trying to stress, what I have been trying to stress, is real love, real commitment. And where you get there is dharma, is righteous action. And when I saw those women out there marching, and the women's march, I saw people dancing. Lonnie, I saw people dancing because they were doing what was correct. I don't mean that we were dancing like cha-cha-cha or ballet or like I dance when I do juggling objects and manipulation and rhythm gymnastics. I mean the dance of life, the dance for hope of the future. And we can change this world. We have that power. We can shut these nuclear plants down. We can sarcophagize Fukushima. Now, I know that sounds like a pipe dream to people at this point in this oppressive environment, but I know it's the reality of what we have to do if we're going to have an economy. And one of the things that I cannot stress to people enough is how they've dummied down people. They have dummied down people to the point where you will sit there and, okay, think about the last time you heard a pop radio station. Every single song is done in a pseudo little boy or little girl voice. Every single one of them is blah, 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 happy, 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 blah, blah. You know, no, no, and no. They don't want your children to grow up into being responsible adults. They're the same people that I've had to hear now for 14 years. And one of the questions you asked me, Lonnie, is do people think I'm crazy? Absolutely not, Lonnie. The technology they've used against me, Dr. Baggage from Alaska, Lorraine Murray has documented this. Jesse Ventura has done a show about it. This is well-documented misuse of technology. And nobody has a right to mess with the U.S. Constitution. Nobody has a right to torture people behind bars or not behind bars. Nobody has a right to do that. And one of the things I want to stress is how powerful the nuclear industry is. I think Chris Busby says as much as he can or is able to. You know, he tried to tell people to take calcium after this accident because calcium, like iodine, can be a blocker and it can help your body shed off some of the ill effects of the radiation. And it's one of the things I still stress to people. If you can get a clean calcium supply, don't take oysters out of the Pacific Ocean. Don't take that kind of calcium. Take bone marrow from cows and from sheep. And that's the kind of calcium you have to take now. And it can help you a great deal because there is still iodine. There's still calcium. Radioactive calcium is still in. It's still happening. Lonnie, this accident is never going to be over, not in anybody on this planet's lifetime.
You know, Hope, after doing this radio show for a year and a half now, I think it's been about a year and a half, and digging into every single accident or talking to activists throughout this part of the world, all over the United States, to be honest, I'm really nonplussed with the level of contamination, radioactive large, huge sectors of Los Angeles, of California are contaminated. Large sectors Washington are contaminated. Large sectors of Oregon is contaminated. Large sectors of Idaho.
Right.
Large sectors of Nebraska. Large sectors of Colorado. Large sectors of New Mexico. Large sectors of Texas, thanks to Rick Perry, large sectors of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
We could just roll
you
up.
Know
every single state is radioactively contaminated. Our oceans, We are swimming in this bullshit. And, you know, it just, it does.
And this stuff is
deadly
stuff.
What really gets me the most, though, Hope, this is why I asked you to come on, because I am just nonplussed with the vitriol, the name calling, like, Busby's a rat, and Helen Caldicott's a rat, and they're rats, and they're rats, and nuclear, beyond nuclear, they're rats. And the name-calling, the vitriol from the citizen scientists is just, it's overwhelmingly bullshit.
It is. It does.
It really
and one
is
of the
non-productive.
Things that people have to understand is there's a lot of money being pumped into us fighting each other.
Yes.
And I totally support Chris Busby's work on internal radiation. And the guy has access to equipment and data I do not have, and I will be the first to admit it. I do not have a PhD in physics, but that might be a good thing. I think that's why I could think outside the box, because I was working on science, but I wasn't under the same rigid constrictions that they were. There is no chapter in the book on how to build a nuclear plant, the chapter when it comes to what to do if there's a meltdown, that was never written, Lonnie. There is no chapter to the end of that book. And that's exactly what I was working on 5 years before Fukushima. I was working on how to contain meltdowns after they had already occurred. What could we do to possibly really contain, I mean really contain a meltdown with the lowest hazardous wipe to people and to the environment. My son's classroom was shot into, Lonnie, and I could never go back to that work again. I mean, I almost went brain dead after that. I mean, the shock to my system, they had threatened me and my family for years. They had threatened my children for years, Lonnie. And when my kid's classroom was actually shot into, I just that was it, you know. I mean, I could not. I left Tucson and I moved to Washington. There was nothing else I could do at that point. Me and my son were not just shot at in the one interview I did with you. I told you about how we were shot at the Malala River.
Yeah.
The second time we were shot at by an automatic weapon was on Halloween in either 1995 or 1996 or 1997. A man said he was robbed. He was chasing the robber supposedly down the street. Now he turns at a 90-degree angle and he shoots 9 shells. He empties his clip into my front room where I was asleep with my little boy. And just seconds before he opened up and shot, I don't know what woke me up. It was an act of God. It was angel's wings. It really was. I got up. I had slept on the floor. We had read ourselves to sleep. We were reading about fairies and all this stuff. And I went to sleep on the floor in my library next to him. And I just picked him up. I don't know why. And I decided to go ahead and put him in his little trundle bed. Boom. All of a sudden, my house was, the window exploded. There were bullets going through my walls. Now, I called the police. They didn't come that night. When they showed up the next day, they made fun of me. They said, well, you're not hurt, so why are you worried about this? I said, hello, there were bullets in my living room. And I had to move my bookcase. I dug bullets out of the back wall, the inner wall of my house, handed them to him, and the cop went, oh, well, I guess there was bullets. Now, we don't expect that kind of treatment from our people in law enforcement. That's how much money they have in illegal surveillance. That's how much money the nuclear industry is spending, the nuclear cartel, to silence certain people. And Chris Busby was demonized after he wanted to start a corporation to give free calcium to children all over Japan. He's also one of the people that talked about how the nuclear industry is using furnaces all over the country in Japan to burn radioactive waste so the people of Fukushima province won't be able to sue TEPCO when their children start getting cancer and dying. That's the truth. That's why they're doing it.
Well, look, this
whole
thing.
Isn't that horrible?
Yes, and this is the thing.
I mean, it's so
horrible.
People
have their own ideas about who ought to be doing what, but frankly, I just don't know how we can break through this the need for people to edify, I mean, for them to make themselves relevant by demeaning other people. That's how I feel about this.
We can't do that anymore. You know, I really respect Chris Busby. I don't agree with him on how much radiation is coming out of Fukushima or did.
Are
the amount of damage
it's
done.
This is what I think.
Don't have to agree with everybody on everything they say totally respect and totally think the guy is great for what he's doing and what he's done. And that's the point. We have to start respecting each other and listening to our points of view. And
this is the thing. This is how I feel.
And
about
allowing it. Exactly.
Because
allowing that
so
dialogue.
There's already so much like mix up and stuff about what's the truth, what's not the truth. They thrive on giving us, it's gaslighting at its height so that, and in fact, I find this to be true on many of the YouTube, with much of the YouTubers, like, oh my gosh, they believe these lies about all these organizations. Just the whole vitriol, it's the us versus them and the rats and, I mean, we are the whole, we're all connected. There's no disconnecting any of it. We're responsible for this. We've come to this point in time because we have not really dealt with it before.
Lonnie, we have enough really bad guys to fight right now. We have to fight the PR firms who are trying to dummy us down. We have to fight the big banker cartels that are trying to control everything. We have to fight the big nuclear industries. We do not need to fight each other because we have a real enemy right now to fight in this world, and it's radiation and it's illegal use of power to turn people against each other and demonize people. And the work that Miss Milky the Clown has done, the work that you are doing is so important and it is so relevant. Because you are getting real people's real stories out there to people to understand there is a different paradigm. Now, maybe they want to go see sex on the sex channel. Maybe they want to go see the fast hit new sitcom channel where to see who the bimbo sleeps with next. You know what? We're not buying it anymore, Lonnie. They don't want to see that anymore. They're tired of it. They know it's a lie. They know it's stupid. My family was targeted. Our privacy was violated. They want to know what really happened with the people that they used for All in the Family, the people who they used for Roseanne Barr. Those people died terrible, tragic, and horrible deaths, Lonnie, and they died because our privacy was violated and we were being used.
Well, they continue to do that. That's not anything new. That's their MO. In fact, what really...
Yeah, it is their MO.
I mean,
you bet it is.
This is the whole thing. Like right now, we have people out in the streets. You know, we had people immediately after Trump got in office, like people going, we're not taking your fascism. Today, there was protests all over because of this, the ban of letting people in without letting people in with green cards, the registry that they want to get going. People are incensed over this. But how this is the true gaslighting. How do we get people to care that their air, their water, their food has, not is going to be, has been poisoned, and all of the scientists have been co-opted, and we can't say jack about it. If we say anything about it, we're considered, you know, conspiracy theorists. My own children tell me that I've been
more
radicalized.
More than that, you know, I went to New York City after 9/11, and I was probably the first truther. And what happened is 6 months before 9/11, I'd been gaslighted. And I told you about some of the terrible gaslighting they'd done, industrial gaslighting. Well, they used a theme on me at that time point, and it was the Twin Towers. Well, I knew my children's stories had been stolen. I knew they were worth like much money, right? Just like gobs and gobs of money. And so they had stalked me with the Twin Tower theme starting in February of that year. So in July, I was homeless. I was running for my life. My kid and I had been threatened. All my children had been threatened. I was homeless. I was terrorized. I had been stalked night and day in Tucson. I was asleep in front of a Walgreens. right, they'd use money from my walls. I saw that later. They use the name game. They use names. I woke up that morning. I knew something was horribly and deadly wrong. And I didn't watch, you know, how everybody sat around their TVs and watched the Twin Towers happen and watched those airplanes fly into the buildings over and over. Yeah. I didn't have a television. I didn't watch that. What I did do is I went to New York City. I didn't want to go. I knew that people, I thought, God, who am I? I'm this stupid little juggler. You know, I've been through hell on earth. I've been raped publicly. Who's going to believe me? I'm poor. I'm a nobody. I'm homeless. And I said to myself, listen to me. You're going to tell people the truth. It doesn't matter whether they believe you or not. Those are American citizens, and they are dead. And nobody had a right to kill those people. Nobody. And somebody high up in our government, somebody high up in our PR firms knew about those deaths before 3/11. Now it's been proved. There's no way those airplanes could have blown up those buildings, blah, blah, blah. It's been proved 1,000 different ways I was correct. But I stood there alone, and I was gaslighted by the New York Police Department, by the fire department, you name it. And what I said, I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know how to explain this to people. What I said has become famous. Follow the money. Follow the money. And it changed the world. Now 80% of the American people have looked at that with new eyes and said, why did this homeless woman do this? Why did she go all the way to New York? Why did she starve when she was beaten and raped and terrorized? I am still terrorized over that trip. And you know what, Lonnie? We can change their minds. We are changing their minds. Fukushima is even far worse. But I believe that 9/11 led to 3/11. We are being taught not to think for ourselves, not to ask those important questions. And once you think for yourself, once you see through the curtain, once you see the guy behind the curtain, you cannot stop seeing the guy behind the curtain. And this is the reality. Fukushima is a species-threatening event to this day. It could possibly be. I'm not saying it is, but I know millions of people are going to die from Fukushima. I absolutely, positively have the science, and I know it. And it doesn't need to happen.
Well, they know it, too. Let's be clear. Anybody who looks at this...
You better believe it.
They all know it. They all know that it's real. And that's why they're keeping their trap shut. Because, honest to God, if they really said even the slightest little bit that it really did cause this much harm, the things that we see in the streets, I mean, people would be going in and tearing these plants apart limb by limb. Do you know what I mean? I mean, most of these nuclear power plants aren't even, like, protected. I mean, I have to say, it's absolutely...
We have to start arm in arm, standing up for our rights to live on this planet. Yeah, it's pretty terrible that people can't have free immigration, but how about the Americans here being tortured? I am certainly not the only one. How about the Americans here that have been treated unjustly? I have never said I was the only one. We have got to clean our house right now. And I don't mean, okay, my house is kind of a mess right now. I've had flu. But you know what? I can always get up and clean up my house. I don't mean that. I mean karmically and spiritually clean what we have done up. Or we are going to be destroyed from our own actions, Lonnie. And the nuclear industry is banking on us putting it off and putting it off and just going along with it and going along with it. We can't do that ever again. We can't do that anymore. And on everywhere airway, all over the airways, you're being dummied down. Dad, 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 happy, 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 sorry, sorry. You know what? Nobody's believing it. Nobody wants it. We want the reality. We want our children to survive. We want to have hope to live on this planet. And all of us have to ask ourselves, okay, people are going, well, okay, I'm not a fisherman. I didn't lose my job in the salmon industry. I didn't lose my job in the halibut or the sardines. Okay, all that is fertilizer that goes on farmers' fields. You are being affected. The prices of food have gone up. You are being affected wherever you are in this country. Chris Buzzi himself said something that was absolutely terrifying. He said the American Cancer Society is saying 50% of us now stand a 50% chance of 50% of all Americans are going to get cancer in their lifetime. Now, my research said pre-Trinity, it was 1 in 100. Now it's 50% of everybody is going to face cancer. When I had cancer, terminal cancer at 20 years old, I was really rare. It was incredibly rare. Nobody else had cancer. I mean, this was a really rare happenstance. It was a terrible tragedy in my life, but it was incredibly rare. Now, 50%? I mean, look at two little children walking down the street. Do you want one of them to get cancer? My God, of course not. And that's what we're facing, Lonnie. That's what we're facing right now.
Well, we're facing the cancer, but we're facing even so much more. I mean, it's not just the cancer. It's the sterility.
No.
It's all of it.
Right.
And I think it's actually really this whole story about alternative facts. This is what we've been living on since the nuclear industry started, is alternative facts. And so for Trumpy to start saying we have our own alternative facts, and frankly, that's the confusion here, is everybody has their own facts. Like, I know there's people that have gone after me, like, hardcore verbally on my YouTube channel that I've had to delete because I support Planned Parenthood. I've been a client of Planned Parenthood for probably 50 years. I love that place. It has seriously helped me through my life. I don't trust doctors. I do trust Planned Parenthood. They have done nothing but be kind and help me all of my life. And they are good professionals. They don't force people into abortion. They don't pay for abortion. They don't promote abortion.
What people have to remember, everybody gets so, this is one of the key issues where they divide Americans. Nobody in their right mind is pro-abortion. What we are is pro-choice, so that every baby born can be wanted and loved and have the best experience it can possibly have coming into this lifetime.
Look,
the people that are truly pro-life are pro-choice.
We are in serious danger when the Vice President of the United States says, we cannot keep the rape clause because if we did, women would try to go out and be raped. He said that at the anti-choice.
That is such
meeting.
A terrible and a misogynistic statement.
But just to
and
say
such
that,
a statement of hatred against all women.
To even think that a woman would women. Do that is just beyond. This is our Vice President of the United States said that before a crowd because he knew they would love it.
But Lonnie, this is one
it's
of the things I've
mentality.
Had to face every day of my life since my privacy was violated. Because violation of privacy is such a terrible rape against me as a woman. And the women that go along with this also use children for porn. It is not a joke. It is not a game. They truly do. And one of the things that we've been supporting is rape. We have been supporting rape because, and let me tell you the truth, aberrancy, watching somebody else, voyeurism, all these forms of aberrancy, pretending that you're a little kid your whole life and talking goo goo gaga, all that stuff, Lonnie, that they're trying to push right now on the American people, not making rational, informed adults. And I probably developed the term inner child. I certainly developed the term inner clown. And what people have to understand is you have to be an adult to develop that stuff. You have to be a human being that has consciousness and concern to get to that point. They're trying to wipe motherhood off the planet.
Look, this
you
is how mentally ill.
You can't force somebody into being a mom.
Look, Mike Pence
That's a terrible
is
thing.
Mentally ill. Mike Pence actually
right,
quoted and
right.
said, what if women would go out and get raped on purpose so they could justify to get off of work so they can have abortions? The guy is mentally ill. And just like the nuclear industry, they're mentally ill. These
right.
are people
it's
who have no
misogyny.
Regard. It's the same. This is what I hit this epiphany about. We have been living with alternative facts for 70 years. And ironically, Trump is 70 years old. So we
right.
this
right.
is
I
the culmination
yeah.
of his entire life. He has been living a lie just like all of us. And I know this from having been a survivor and a thriver of severe, severe child abuse. I'll spare you the details of my life. But the one thing I learned early on is once you accept full responsibility for your life and accept that everything that's in your life is because you brought it there, and if you want to have different results, you have to change your mind and accept the responsibility and be willing to work on your own interior, your own spiritual path so that you can manifest different results. period. That's
well,
it.
Well, let me say something to you, though, Lonnie, about that. I understand what you're saying, and I really appreciate it. But let me give you a little bit different viewpoint. I am being tortured every day. I can't work. I put in over 3,000 job applications. I was stalked wherever I went. Nobody would hire me no matter what I did. Now, I'm well-educated. I look well. I'm well-spoken. There was no reason for this, and I knew it even at the time. You, as a victim of severe abuse, Lonnie, you are not responsible for what they did to you. You are in no way responsible.
Well, we're not responsible for what happened to us. Well, let's just put you this way. In a deep way, we have a spiritual path. I believe we come into this path to work things out. So in a way, we have already, I mean, I don't know if you've read this book, but it's called Sacred Contracts by Carolyn Meese. And she talks about how before we come into this life, we sign up for certain paths. We have free will and choice, and that directs our path. And as we learn and grow, the path changes. But in order for us really, and even with this nuclear thing, like, my question is, how do we get all these millions? We had 5 million people in the street. Not one of them even breathed a word about Fukushima. I mean,
I did. I held up a sign.
Oh, yeah.
I was the rare minority, too.
But I get you.
The thing is, this is how people grow, though. It's the 100th monkey syndrome. And eventually they're going to watch and understand why. Okay, look how I've been targeted. And I realized I was targeted so heavily, minimalized, gaslighted, put down, ridiculed, raped, beaten, shattered. My work is worth billions, but I don't have enough to eat. I mean, my God, the 8th car sitting in my driveway destroyed by violence. My life is hell on earth. But, Lonnie, listen to me. I'm teaching people how to wash their food. I'm teaching people how to drink clean water. Believe it or not, I really am. And I'm doing it by saying to people, we will not accept what is wrong. I was bully ragged. I had 37 times my wallet stolen from me, my backpack stolen from me in Tucson. It wasn't like I could stop being homeless. These people were going to bully rag me literally to death if they could. I lost 18 inches of my gut from this. Now, they're stalking me. They're surrounding me. We love you. We're sorry. You're going to die. People I don't know. You know, I'm being actively, terribly harassed, almost harassed to death every single day. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I'm walking down the street. Somebody reached over and tried to take my backpack. And this is like 2 days after my kid's school room had been shot into. I grabbed my backpack in my hand. I threw it down at my feet. And I looked at this person twice my size and said, you touch me again, I'm going to kill you. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I meant it. I absolutely meant it. I said, any of you think you can exploit me and use me, you're going to be destroyed. It's going to come back on you 10 times 10. You get the hell away from me. Now, I know that that kind of anger isn't what I want to spread out into the world, but I want to tell people right now it worked, and it works because nobody has a right to violate us. These people are running nuclear plants that are killing our children. They do not have a right
so
to do this.
So the company that you testified against was ATI. Is that the name of it?
That's the name of it. It's 30 miles from where you live, Ronnie.
I know. I found out about it from you, and you are absolutely right. And you know what else I've discovered? We have a bleeding, vacant hole, a uranium mine, open air in Oregon, which nobody really knows about. So that's
we have a huge one in Southern Oregon. Yeah.
No, Northern. And, I think it's Northern Oregon. It's huge.
Well, there's a couple of them in Southern Oregon.
Wow.
And you know, one of the things that we talked about is, I know that victims need to get on with their life. I know. But one of the things we need to do is hold the responsibility to the people that are doing the violation. If they own stock in nuclear uranium, right now I'm telling those people, if you think that you can profit from the selling of uranium, from nuclear power right now and have clean karma, you are dead wrong. That stock is killing people. And you people out there with stock in uranium mines that own any part in the industrial military complex, that are have any part in the plutonium manufacturers in Philadelphia and that huge arms company. And by the way, one of the places that we haven't talked about as the most contaminated place on Earth is Philadelphia, where there's this huge, huge depleted uranium shell factory. This stuff is pernicious. It's all over the world. Every American had better look in the mirror, and I want them to Google Felucia and look at the children of Felucia and say, did you have a right? And at the end of the day, what the hell did you do, Mr. and Mrs. America? What the hell did you do to stop that?
Well, this I know is why what we I have did. To use drones.
I went to New York through the cold. I crawled when I had to. I was beaten.
Hope,
people tried to rape me. They put a knife to my throat, and still I went.
Hope, this is why we have to use drones, our military, because we are using depleted uraniums. We cannot put our soldiers in harm's way, so we use drones now. That's the that is the dirty. Now, you know what? I hate to cut you short, but we've got 3 minutes left. So I want to thank you for coming on and having this frank conversation, because frankly, I'm really been very I know I'm not going to stop it. And I, you know, I've been accused of being softball. I wasn't hard enough on Chris Busby, and I'm being too nice about everything. But this is the thing. We are being gaslit, and we're the few thousand of us. Maybe there's a few thousand anti-nukers on this entire planet of billions. Everybody else believes the lies. They haven't seen it yet.
And this I think they're starting to wake up, Lonnie.
Look, there's a sales thing that says you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. That's really people aren't even aware. They think they know, but they don't know it yet. And so it's really up to
us. But, Lonnie,
we've got about 2 minutes.
Here's another truth. When we light a candle in the dark, it is no longer dark. And as long as we're talking out about nuclear energy, about terrible effects, right now, the cancer effect is 50% of us are going to get cancer sometime in our lifetime. That is unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And it's genocide of the most thinking, thoughtful, wonderful free people that ever lived on this planet. And I will not accept that. And I will not accept them breaking the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights and violating me or anybody else ever. And that's what's going to have to motivate us and keep us going. Our children matter. Their futures matter. We matter. And I'm so proud of you, Lonnie. I think you did a great interview with a great man. I don't have to agree with the man on everything to totally respect who he is and what he's saying.
Well, look, let's end
and he's got to testify. He's got to go in and testify, not me. Nobody's going to come and tell, ask me to testify tomorrow for their cancer, but they are him. And so he's got to make sure that he's telling things that he can prove in black and white in paper. And all the anti-nukers have to start supporting each other and understanding that the people in the scientific community have to keep themselves credible. That's part of the world they have to deal with.
Well, thank you, Hope. You've been listening to Hope Caster. This has been a pre-recorded interview with Hope Caster. I hope you come back with us. I would love to have you back. Please put your courage feet on. Please do take some action. And you know what? Just definitely take some action, whatever you think it is, the right thing. Put your courage feet on, walk in love, and you know what? Let's all be kind to each other and understand that we don't have to agree with each other to support each other. So we'll talk to you soon, you guys. Ciao.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of